To recall, the Mishnah had recorded a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel concerning a sukkah yeshana, which was a sukkah that was made l'shem tzeil for the sake of shade, but not for the sake of sukkahs. It wasn't made l'shma, so Beis Shammai holds its pasul and Beis Hillel holds kosher. It's on a simple level, and that seems to be the stam of the Bavli, that Beis Hillel holds its kosher, require nothing. Beis Shammai holds its pasul, since, as Rishonim explained, it primarily revolves around the schach, the language of sukkah, not so much the walls. So the walls could be yeshana, do not have to be made for the sake of sukkahs, but the schach specifically has to be placed l'shem mitzvah sukkah. According to Beis Shammai, the entire schach would have to be lifted up and replaced l'shem mitzvah sukkah in order to kosherize that sukkah. Similar to what the Gemara speaks about in terms of things that were growing from the ground and are attached to the ground and replaced on top of the sukkah. In order to kosherize that, it wouldn't just be sufficient to cut it, you would have to lift it up and put it back down again. According to Beis Hillel, though, hold that it's kosher, sounds like you don't have to do anything as long as it's placed l'shem tzeil for the sake of shade. So Tosfos now quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi that is a requirement even according to Beis Hillel. Rishalmi Tani, Rishalmi is taught, Tzarech l'charesh ba'davar, that even according to Beis Hillel, you have to be mecharesh something. Something has to be new in that sukkah, yeshana, even according to Beis Hillel. So the Rishalmi quotes a sub-debate as to exactly what you have to do. Chavraya, Amrin, Tefach, that one group of Chachamim held, all you have to do is lift up and put down a Tefach. The poskim explain it means a tefach squared. The Yosi Omer, kolshu, even the tiniest amount. However, the Rishalmi clarifies, Amanda Omer kolshu, the one who holds that you could do the tiniest amount, the first Rav Yosi, uvulvacha te'al pnei kula, but it has to be across the entire sukkah from end to end. So this indeed, even though some want to say this is a machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi, but the Lamai said this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that is required according to Beis Hillel. What we have is a machlokas Rishonim, whether that requirement is a requirement lechatchila, or as some posts can put it, as a mitzvah min amufcher, as an ideal form of fulfilling the mitzvah, but b'diavad the sukkah is certainly okay, or is it even ma'akev according to the Yerushalmi? Now Tosfos continues to quote Yerushalmi, uvasarachi isa hasam, and after that the Yerushalmi quotes, Matzi Yishana plukta the Beis Shammai of Beis Hillel. That just as Beis Shammai will argue about Lishma, whether the schach has to be made l'shem it's a sukkah, so too concerning Matzi Yishana, which would be the same thing, the matzah that wasn't made Lishma, that's a machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. So then the Gemara quotes an opinion that's not true. Amar Rebbe, Divrei Akolhu, that Matzi Yishana is going to be psula according to everyone. Why? Mikevin shelo asah l'shem Pesach. Since you didn't make it for the sake of the mitzvah of Pesach, so it's certain that you weren't medaktik in it, and therefore a paskah could become chametz. So this is not our topic in terms of matzah now, but just there are two understandings, and the medaik and the words of the Rishonim and the Achronim discuss this, whether the requirement of shimur for matzah based on the pasuk of Vishmartem es hamatzos, whether that means the shame mitzvah matzah, meaning for the sake of the fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah on Pesach, or is it specifically being aware that it's for matzah of Pesach and therefore being extra careful that it shouldn't become chametz, as opposed to just seeing that it doesn't have any signs of chimutz, but you didn't specifically do any kind of shmira to see that it shouldn't become chametz. So those are two versions of what shimur means. We're medactic on both. So it's just tempting to suggest that maybe this Yerushalmi might revolve a little around that. That the first opinion, that it is a machlokis, is assuming that l'shma of matzah is similar to l'shma of sukkah, which is l'shem mitzvah sukkah. In the case of matzah, l'shem mitzvah matzah. And the second opinion is might agree with that, but there's certainly something more than that, and that is specific shimur for the sake of the mitzvah. And if you didn't have that, we're worried that it might be chametz. The Mishnah, after quoting the Machlokas to Mishami Vesilel as to whether or not a Sukkah Yishana is possible or kosher, defines what a Sukkah Yishana is. That Kol She'asah Kodom L'chag Shloshim Yom, if you made it 30 days before the holiday, that's a Sukkah Yishana, where we assume that it's not Stama Lishma, that it wasn't made for the sake of the holiday Min Hastam, if it's within 30 days, as Rashi points out, since that's already the orbit of the holiday, because you're already start learning its halachas. So then even Beis Shammai would agree that that's called lishma, because it's stam lishma, that most likely you have a mind sukkahs for that in that window of opportunity, even though you didn't specifically have that in mind or state so. And the Mishnah, l'masah, l'shem chag. But if you made it specifically for the purpose of sukkahs, afilu mitchilas hashana kshera, then even from the beginning of the year, it's kosher. Now, is that statement, according to Beis Shammai, that even they agree that you don't have to have it within 30 days, it could even be earlier, provided you specifically have a mind lishma, or is that according to Beis Hillel? This is the topic of Tosfos. So, v'im asal shem chag, v'chule, Tosfos kamen. Afilo Beis Hillel, nafkamina, she'ein tzarech l'chadesh badover. So, Tosfos is going with the premise that since the simple reading of the Mishnah is that Beis Hillel kosherized the sukkah as long as it's made l'shem sale, even if it's not made l'shem schach of sukkah, so then that last line is indeed going according to Beis Shammai, that if it, you made it for the sake of sukkahs, l'shem chag, so even beginning of the year, it's okay, because Beis Shammai agreed that there's no specific deadline before sukkahs, a window during which you have to actually make the sukkah, you could do it in the beginning of the year, which just has to be l'shma. So if it's done l'shma, even in the beginning of the year, meaning like right after sukkahs, so for next year, so that would be valid according to Beis Shammai. So Tosfos is troubled by the question that if that last line is going according to Beis Shammai, but we normally don't paskin like Beis Shammai. The Gemara even has extreme statements of Beis Shammai Malkum Beis Hillel ain't a Mishnah, that it's not considered a valid halachic opinion, even with respect to, let's say, Shas Chak, time of pressing circumstances or other issues. Certainly Beis Shammai Shita is Torah, but there seems to be a trend in the Gemara that we would not necessarily spend time analyzing the view of Beis Shammai. So why is the Mishnah doing that exactly over here and saying that Beis Shammai agree that if you make the Shema, even from the beginning of the year, that it'll be kosher, when there doesn't seem to be any nafkamina according to the winning view of Beis Hillel? So, Tosfos has two approaches in answer to this question. The first approach, which we read briefly, is afilo Beis Hillel nafkamina. That even according to Beis Hillel, it also has a halachic ramification. Shein tzarech l'chadesh badavar. Tosfos quoted earlier the position of the Rishalmi, which is mashma from this Tosfos, that we don't really have a machlokas here between the Bavli and the Rishalmi, except the Bavli didn't spell it out, and the Rishalmi did spell it out. So, within that aspect that the Rishalmi added here, that according to Beis Hillel, they agree that at least l'chadchila, some Rishonim hold, even b'di'evid, that very nice that it doesn't, the bulk of the schach doesn't have to be made, l'shem it's a sukkah, but a little of it does have to be chadash, meaning be made l'shem it's a sukkah. Again, the two opinions there of the tefach al tefach, or the kol shu al pnei kulo. So therefore, that idea of the tefach al tefach, of the kol shu al pnei kulo, we have to be mechadash badavar, even according to Beis Hillel, so that could be done even from the beginning of the year, provided it's done l'shem it's a sukkah. So the last line indeed, it's not only according to Beis Shammai, it's even according to Beis Hillel. So now it's a second answer. Even if it only has halachic ramification according to Beis Shammai, yesh lo l'tana l'foresh b'men nechleku. It's still incumbent upon the Tana of the Mishnah to explain what is the point of debate and what is the case of debate. Lo shayach l'akshuye time of the Beis Shammai yoslashminan. And it's not relevant to ask, as the Gemara Tosfos is going to quote, sometimes does ask, what, you're coming to explain the view of Beis Shammai? We don't pass like Beis Shammai. So that question is only relevant to attack and ask, how are we analyzing the view of Beis Shammai? We don't pass like Beis Shammai. Ela hecha de pligi tanoi alibi de Beis Shammai. Where you have a machlokis of tanoim within the view of Beis Shammai. Below nafka mina midi beflukta alibi de Beis Hillel. And there's no ramification within that machlokis tanoim within the view of Beis Shammai. It has no ramification within the view of Beis Hillel. So that is the kind of question the Gemara asks. When you have a machlokas tanoim within Beis Shammai, and that machlokas tanoim is purely theoretically relevant for the view of Beis Shammai, but it does not in any way impact the what we hold concerning Beis Hillel, so that's a kasha the Gemara will ask. Ki ahi, the Rabbi has the Mila. As is the case where they do ask that kind of question, v'chi taimil Beis Shammai yoslashminan, in Perek Lez the Mila, the 19th Perek of Masechta Shabbos, Kuflam Hayim and Aleph. Again, the topic there has to do with a nolad mohu, as to the whether he needs a bris milah or not, some kind of procedure, a tavas nabris, and whether or not that milah overrides Shabbos. So there was a machlokes tanoim within the machlokes in Beis Shammai Beis Hillel concerning a nolad mohu. So then you have that kind of kasha when you have a machlokes tanoim within Beis Shammai. We'll come back to this in a moment, just to first finish up the Tosfos. That's exactly what Tosfos means. So Tosfos now comments, Uferek arbo achin in Masechta Yevamos of Chesman Aleph, and Uferek kama de beitza, skipping the word kasha, at least where it is based on the imitation of the Bach in the first parak of beitza, the Zayin and Mabez, I would think that you should add in the word here kasha after both gemaras, that those gemaras are difficult. Bechulan perashna bimkomam. Why are those gemaras difficult? Because at first glance, those gemaras also have situations where they're arguing within Beis Shammai's position to try to fully explicate it, And we just spelled out that to argue just within Beishami's position is not something that the Gemara allows and considers to be worthwhile of presenting in the Gemara because we don't follow Beishami. So those two Gemaras didn't attack and say, Time of the Beishamai, Oslashmina, and it didn't ask that, those kashas. So what Tosis does, and that's what he alludes to, V'chulam, Pirashim, V'mkomam, we explained in those two places of Yevamis and Beitza, explains how that discussion concerning the view of Beishamai is also directly relevant and impacts upon Beis Hillel, so therefore it's not a kasha. It's interesting, just parenthetically, that in the parentheses concerning Yevamis, it says Yevamis Avchav Chesmer Aleph Visham, meaning there's a Tosis there that does explain it, and in Beitza it just says Zayinim Beit, it doesn't say Visham. I mean, it's not a Tosis there. So apparently, the Tosis collections in Sukkah and Yevamis were by the same author. I verified it. It's both Tosis Rash Mishans. And the one in Beitza was written by someone else. And therefore, that promised Tosis in Beitza doesn't appear there. Getting back to exactly what Tosis means, that when under certain circumstances, it does pay to analyze the debate within Beis Shammai, and sometimes does not. When exactly is it not relevant to analyze the view of Beishamai. So the Maram explains that even though Tosfos tells us that when there's a machlokis tanoim within Beishamai, and it's only relevant to Beishamai, at least seemingly, so that's when the Gemara will attack, that why are you analyzing Beishamai? So even though language of Tosfos sounds like that it's not just stam analysis of Beishamai's view that bothers us, it's when there's a machlokis tanoim about Beishamai's view. So that's what the Maram explains, that it's Lav Dafka that Tosis is focusing on a Machlokas Tanoim. It's any time we're analyzing Beishamai's view, and then the Gemara will attack, or should attack, that why are we analyzing Beishamai's view if you don't pass him like that? And the only time, bottom line, that we will analyze Beishamai's view is if analyzing his view sheds light on what Beis Hillel holds. This is the view of Maharam. And he proves that by pointing out there's a certain contradiction in Tosis, unless you say that. However, I saw in the new Gemaras, the Oz of Hara Gemaras, so they quote in the footnotes to the Maram from the Sefer Ginzei Yosef, that perhaps seems to read more smoothly into the literal words of Tosfos, that actually, in order to attack and say why you're analyzing Beishamai's view, you need two factors. Number one, not just that you're analyzing Beishamai's view, but that there's a machlokis within Beishamai's view. So that the Gemara thinks is too much, and therefore will attack why you're analyzing Beishamai's view, or having machlokis about it, rather. And the only time that would be legitimate, if it impacts Beis Hillel's view. But, under two circumstances, is legitimate to analyze Beis Shammai's view. Even a machlokis within Beis Shammai's view, if that impacts Beis Hillel's view. Or, to just analyze Beis Shammai's view without having a machlokis, because that's part of analysis of Torah. That if Beis Hillel hold this, and Beis Shammai hold that, so we should analyze. What do Beis Hillel hold? What do Beis Shammai hold? And even if analyzing Beis Shammai, and getting to the truth of that, would not directly impact what Beis Hillel hold, so that is a sufficient reason to analyze Beis Shammai. Let's see how that plays itself out in our Gemara. In our Gemara, the Mishnah comments that according to Beis Shammai, that if you made it Lishma from the beginning of the year, so that would be valid. So according to Maram's approach, what we need to do is analyze how knowing now what Beis Shammai hold impacts our understanding of Beis Hillel. And the way it does that is now that we know that it's Beis Shammai who hold that you require Lishma from the beginning of the year, so that means Beis Hillel do not require Lishma ever. Not within 30 days, not before 30 days, and not even from the beginning of the year. Had you not had that clarification from Beis Shammai, you would have thought that even Beis Hillel at some point maybe do require Lishma. That would be the way the Maram would explain this Mishnah based on his presentation. According to the Ginzei Yosef, what Tosis is saying here is that even if Beis Shammai's statement that it being Lishma from the beginning of the year makes it kosher, even if that would have no impact whatsoever, according to Beis Hillel. And maybe it's obvious from the very word Sukkah Yishana that Beis Hillel kosherize it, and they don't give any limits. A Sukkah Yishana is made with sale, and it doesn't say when it's made. It could even be the beginning of the year. So even if you don't need that line explicating Beis Shammai to impact on Beis Hillel, it's still okay, because here we're just stating as a fact what Beis Shammai hold, and analyzing it, and not arguing about what they hold. And therefore, as we mentioned earlier, according to the Ginzei Yosef, that would also be a valid analysis, not subject to the Gemara's attack of why you're analyzing Beis Shammai's view. Tais Dibir Maschil, Minayin Latzei Sukkah, Shasur and Kol Shiva. To recall, the Gemara had quoted first according to Beis Hillel, and then the Gemara is going to ask that Beis Shammai also left to have that drasha, that the Tanoim, both Rabbi Akiva and Yehuda ben Beseira, darshan from the Pasuk, Chag HaSukkah is Shivas Yom LaShem, so it's a hekish to the Korban Chagiga, as Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira quotes, Ma Shem Shemayim Chal HaChagiga, Kach shem shemayim chal al sukkah. That the schach, and possibly the walls also, that's a debate in the Rishonim, are also for the full 7 days of sukkahs, and they only may be used for the mitzvah of sukkah, not for any other purpose. Can't use the schach, let's say, for firewood or anything like that. So the Gemara had asked on Beis Shammai that how could Beis Shammai take the same pasuk of Chag HaSukkah Yishiv Hashem LaShem and Darshan it that has to be made L'Shem Chag for the sake of Avodas Hashem, that the Sukkah has to be made L'Shma, but doesn't it need that pasuk to teach you that the Sukkah is also called Shiva? So the Gemara indeed switched and says Beis Shammai learn his idea that the Sukkah has to be made L'Shma from a different pasuk. Chag HaSukkah is Tasa L'Cho Shivas Yomim Sukkah Asuya L'Shem Chag Ba'inan. The Tos points out from the give and take of this Gemara, Mashma, the Asiri Midaraisa Udrosha Gemurahi, that the Sukkah is also for the full 7 days, and it's only allowed to be used for the purpose of the mitzvah of Sukkah, Minat Torah. And it's a real drusha, and not an asmachta, it's not a dinder rabbanan that's just alluded to by the pasuk. What's the proof that it's a real drusha? Midaparich, from the fact that Gemara has a kasha, Ambei Shammai, Vakra, Lahach Yudosa, that the pasuk of Lashem, of Chag HaSukkah Shivas Yom LaShem is necessary to teach you that the Sukkah is Asur for a full 7 days. And it's not free to teach you that you need to make it Lishma. Indeed, the Gemara accepted that Kasha and then has Beis Shammai learn his Drasha of Lishma from a different Pasuk. So the fact that there's a Shakla Vitaria give and take within the Drushas, and Beis Shammai has to actually use his Drasha from Lishma from a different Pasuk, so that directly implies that all of these Drushas are Menat Torah. Otherwise, Beis Shammai could say that the real drasha has to be made lishma, and that's what we learned from Chag HaSukkah Shivas Yom LaShem. And the idea of it being also for 7 days is only an asmachta. So the pasuk is still free to teach you the drasha lishma. The fact that the Gemara attacked Beis Shammai and he had to cave in and derive it from a different pasuk indicates directly that this is a real drasha in the Torah. That's parenthetically the words the Tosfos utilizes in terms of the kasha asked on Beis Shammai, Vakra, Lahach Yudasa. So we have a slightly different version in our Gemara. We have a Beis Shammai Nami mi boi le lahachi, that he requires it for this rather than Lahach Yudasa. Same basic idea. So Tosfos, based on that infers directly from our Gemara that it's a real drasha. So Tosfos now has two Gemaras that directly imply that the prohibition of using the sukkah for 7 days is only dinder rabbanan based on laws of muksa, and not based on a drasha of comparing sukkah to chagiga, that it's aser for any purpose other than the mitzvah during the 7 days. Question number one, v'tema, the Befer Kira, in the third parak of Shabbos, of Memhemer Aleph, we have the following, Gemara, mashma, shehumi the rabbanan. The direct implication that it's only the Rabbanan. To give a little background, the Gemara's on Shabbos and Beitza are premised on a very broad sugya, the sugya of Muktza. So very briefly, there is a machlokas between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. Reb Shimon lesley Muktza and Reb Yehuda islay Muktza. Reb Shimon holds there is not a concept called Muktza, at least only under extreme circumstances. And Reb Yehuda holds there is a concept called Muktza. So, without getting involved in all the details, everyone agrees that there are certain things that you're not allowed to move, such as a kalisha malach l'iser, like a hammer that you normally use for prohibited things that you're not allowed to move. That may or may not have anything to do with the sugya of muktzah. But Reb Shimon is of the view that the default is that all items that are fit for use on Shabbos or Yom Tov, even though they're not designated for that use, and even though you have taken it mentally to some extent out of your mind, but if they're usable, then you may use them on Shabbos. In the language of the Gemara, basically everything is called mukhan, or prepared for use on Shabbos, even though you didn't specifically have it in mind, and even if to some extent it's out of you. So as an example, on Yom Tov, if you have an animal that wasn't necessarily designated for slaughter, it was designated for work. So according to Reb Shimon, there's no objection in using that animal for meat to shecht on Yom Tov, because even though it wasn't really designated for food, but Reb Shimon lesley muktza. And that's direct contrast to the view of Reb Yehuda, who holds yeshla muktza. Since the animal is designated for work and not for food, so therefore we cannot shecht it on Yom Tov. So now the Gemara points out that there are certain situations where even Rabbi Shimon agrees that there is a concept called muksa, that if it's out of mind, then you're not allowed to use it. So one of the examples is Shemen Shebener, when you light Neros before Shabbos, and it's designated for the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. So while the Ner is on, certainly taking the oil out of the burning Nair would be asur because of the prohibition of kibui, of extinguishing. But let's say some oil would drip out while the candle is lit. So Rav Shimon would agree that in that case it's muktzah. Why? Because it's huksa l'mitzvaso. It's designated for the mitzvah of Nair Shabbos, and therefore it's out of your mind, and therefore you're not allowed to use that oil. After the Nair would go out, then according to the opinion of Rav Shimon, you would be allowed to use the shemen. But while the Nair is on, if some oil drips out, you would not be allowed to use it. So the Gemara and the Havamina thought that in order for Rav Shimon to prohibit it, you need two prohibitions. That it should be muktzah l'mitzvaso, it should be designated for a mitzvah and for no other purpose. And it should be muktzah machmas iser. Muktzah machmas iser is that it is out of your mind because of some prohibition. In this case, the prohibition is that I'm not allowed to take the oil out while it's lit, because that would violate kibui or extinguishing. So because I have the two reasons of muktzah l'mitzvaso and muktzah machmas iser, machmas isuro, so I cannot use it. So the Gemara points out that in reality, Rabbi Shimon holds that even Huxel Mitzvaso is enough of a reason to prohibit it. You don't need a double reason. And the way it proves that, so now we pick up the Tosfos. The Maisi Hasam Raya, the Rabbi Shimon Islay Gabiner Mitoch Shehuxel Mitzvaso Huxel Isuro. That the fact that it's Huxel Mitzvaso in the case of Neir Shabbos or any kind of similar case, so that's a sufficient reason to make it Aser. Huxel Mitzvaso Huxel Isuro. Not that you need two reasons, that it should be Muxa for the Mitzvah and Vihuxel Isuro, but rather, because it's Huxel Mitzvaso, Huxel Isuro, therefore it is Usur during the whole time that the candle is on. That's what's meant by that line, Huxel Isuro. Not that that's a reason to make it Usur, but that is the time frame during which it will be Usur. As long as the candle's on, so then you're not allowed to utilize the oil that drips. To utilize the oil, actually, that is in the cup where the oil is lighting, for sure, Asur, because of kibui. But even the oil that comes out during that time period is prohibited because of Huxel Mitzvaso, which is a sufficient reason to make it prohibited, according to Rabbi Shimon. And the way they prove that it's good enough to have just one reason of Huxel Mitzvaso, and you don't need two reasons of Huxel Mitzvaso and Huxel Isuro to make it Asur, Mehode Tanya, from the following Braisa, the Ein Notan Eitzim and Asuka B'Yamtiv, that you're not allowed to take the wood from a sukkah and yamtif, let's say, to use for firewood. Rabbi Shimon Matir, and Rabbi Shimon holds, it's allowed. So, we'll have to elaborate on this a little later when Tosis quotes the Gemara and Beitza on this, as to why Rabbi Shimon allows it. V'shavin b'sukkah sachag b'chag. But everyone agrees that a real sukkah on yamtif, shehi asura, that you're not allowed to use, let's say, to use the sachag for firewood on yamtif, that even Rabbi Shimon would agree. So, the first part of the braisa, that you're not allowed to take wood from a sukkah on Yom Tov, and if Shimon allows it, that's not talking about a mitzvah sukkah, that's just talking about a hut that you're using for shade. So since the wood on top of the hut was designated to be relevant to the hut, relevant to the sukkah for shade, so Rabbi Yehuda, who would be the Tana Kama this braisa, recall earlier, Rabbi Yehuda holds of muksa. So Rabbi Yehuda has that wood out of mind, hooked in the sense it's out of your mindset because it's you being utilized for shade. You didn't intend to use it for firewood, so therefore you're not allowed to change your mind. Then you have to even use it for firewood. And Rabbi Shimon knows you are allowed to. Then the braisa continues, V'shavin b'sukkah sachag b'chag shiasura, that the real sukkah of mitzvah, everyone holds a saser. Why does everyone hold a saser? Because it's huksel mitzvah, so it's designated for the mitzvah. And since it's designated for the mitzvah, even Rabbi Shimon agrees that as long as that mitzvah is going on, you're not allowed to use it, and therefore you can't use the schach or anything connected to it for firewood. And this proves that Huxel Mitzvaso alone is good enough for Rav Shimon to declare it to be muksa. And you don't need Huxel Isser as well, because concerning sukkah, all you have is Huxel Mitzvaso, and you don't have Huxa Machmas Isuro, because as we're going to see in the continuation, we're talking about a sukkah that fell down. Therefore, there's no problem of stira or destroying a structure. So in that kind of case, where the sukkah fell down, so there's only Huxel Mitzvaso, and therefore, extending it to the Shem and Shebaner, even though there you have two reasons to prohibit it, both Huxel Mitzvaso and Huxel Isuro, but all you need to make it Aser is Huxel Mitzvaso. So, what is the reason that Rav Shimon is prohibiting the schach from being used for firewood? So it's clear from the Gemara that it revolves around the rabbinic prohibition of muktzah. That even though Rav Shimon generally doesn't hold the muktzah, but he holds the Huxel Mitzvaso, it does not seem to be deriving it from the Torah concept of what we derive from the Psukim and Argamara of the comparison, the Chagiga, that Chol Shem Shemayim al HaSukkah. Because if that would be the source for the prohibition of Sukkis, then that would in no way shed light on the Huxel Mitzvaso of Neir Shabbos, which is only the Rabbanan. So clearly by the Gemara making the comparison from Sukkah to Neir Shabbos and actually shedding light on the halacha concerning Neir Shabbos, that it's also because of Huxel Mitzvaso from Sukkah, it sounds like that they're both Din and the Rabbanan premised on the principle of Muksa. So this is Raya number one, that the prohibition of using the Sukkah is only a Din the Rabbanan based on Muksa and not a Din the Raisa based on the Psukim. So now Tosfos quote an additional Gemara that directly implies, again, that the issue of utilizing the Sukkah for purposes other than the mitzvah during the 7 days is an issue derabanan based on Muksa. Uferek ha-mevi kadeh yayin. In the fourth parak of Masech Tebeitza, Daf Lamed Beis, Maisi drasha dehacha. It brings our drasha here, the filo hachi, and nonetheless, mash mahasam b'sav shmaitin. The direct implication at the end of that sugya there is the lo asira ella mitam muksa, that it's only prohibited because of muksa. The karminan ase sukkah, the chayla kedusha alayhu the bachetz is katsoy l'shiva. That even though the Gemara quoted the our drasha, but nonetheless at the end of the sugya it uses a language that implies that it's not a din minatara that's based on the concept of muksa. That language is Ase sukkah, the chayla kedusha alayhu is katsoy l'shiva. That the ase sukkah that has kedusha on it, again, the way Tos is understanding, as a result of muksa, because it's huksa l'mitzvaso, the kedusha meaning the sanctity that is relevant to this concept of huksa l'mitzvaso, so therefore is katsoy l'shiva. So it is muksified, so to speak, for the full 7 days. So, if it would be a din minatora, why do you have to use the concept of muksa, which is only a din derabanan? It's something much stronger than that. Since Tosfos will elaborate and try to be medayik and ask from several parts of that sugya in Beitza, a brief overview of the dynamic of that sugya is in order. The Gemara there quotes a brisa, which was already quoted briefly earlier in Tosfos from Masechta Shabbos. Ein notlin eitzim in asuka el min asomachlo. One is not allowed to take wood from asuka. Here we're going to see it's not talking about the sukkah on Sukkis, it's just talking about some kind of hut that was set up for shade. You cannot take wood from it, elemena samachla. You can't take from things, let's say, directly on top of this particular hut, but that which is near it. Okay, the exact details of what's called near it is not relevant for us now. Virav Shimon Matir, and Rav Shimon allows it. Okay, at this point, just to explain that, according to Behuda, it's Aser, who's the Tanakama, because of muksa, and that which is just near it wasn't really designated for the purpose of the hut, and therefore it's not muksa. And Rav Shimon, who doesn't hold of muksa, allows you to use the wood from the hut. The Braisa continues, V'shavin b'sukkah sachag b'chag, that everyone agrees that the sukkah of chag asukos is usher to use the schach she'asura. Then the Braisa concludes, V'im hisna alea, Hakol lefi tana'o, that if you made a stipulation that it shouldn't become mukta, that you do not separate it from your mindset, so then everything goes according to its condition, and even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you're allowed to use the stuff on top of this sukkah for, let's say, on Yom Tov for firewood. So, the Gemara explained that clearly we're not dealing with a situation where you have a regular built booth. Because if you have a regular built booth, then forget about the prohibition of muktzah. There's a prohibition of soser. You're not allowed to demolish. So on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're clearly not allowed to take away the schach under any circumstances, not according to Behuda, and not according to Rav Shimon. So therefore, the Gemara points out, in the name of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, that this particular brisa that talks about the permissibility, according to Rav Shimon, and the prohibition, according to Behuda, of utilizing the schach, is talking about where the booth fell. It fell down on Yom Tov, let's say, and now you want to use the wood for firewood. According to Behuda, it's prohibited because of muksa, because it was set away from your mind, the concept of muksa, lahaktsot midato, and Rav Shimon holds that less like muksa. So now it fell down. There's no prohibition of demolishing of soser. You're allowed to use it for firewood. So now, the Gemara then analyzes the next clause. It says in the Braisa, V'shavin b'sukkah sachag b'chag, that a sukkah on Yom Tov, that everyone agrees that it's usser. So, just putting it together, everyone agrees that it's usser midin muktza, because of huktza l'mitzvaso, simply speaking. V'shavin b'sukkah sachag b'chag, shi asura, that everyone agrees that the sukkah of chag asukos that you're not allowed to use it. Wait a second. Of course you're not allowed to use it. It's a problem of soser. How could you take away the schach? It's a problem of demolishing. So here also, presumably, we're going to have to be talking about a case, as we said earlier, from Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchok, that this Yom Tov Tikka Sukkah, the Sukkah Tikka Sukkah, fell. And now the question is, on Yom Tov, are you allowed to use the wood for firewood? So here, everyone agrees that you're not allowed. Then the Braisa continues and says, but if you made a Tanai, you are allowed. Simply speaking, it sounds like it's saying that if you made a Tanai on the Sukkah Sachag B'chag, on the Chag HaSukkah Sukkah, so then you're allowed to use it for firewood when it falls down. So the Gemara challenged, Umi Mahani but Tanai, does a Tanai work? Does it help before Yom Tov to stipulate that I'm not separating my mindset from the schach, and therefore I'll be able to use it for firewood in case it falls down? So then the Gemara in Beitza quotes the drushes that we have in our Gemara, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, that chol shem shemayim ala sukkah, and therefore the sukkah is also for a full 7 days. Simply speaking, it sounds like at that point, the Gemara thought it was a din d'oraisa. So how then could Tanai work? So the Gemara, after a brief discussion, points out that a Tanai would only work for a non-sukkah sticker sukkah, a regular hut that was made for shade. There a Tanai would work. And then the Gemara continues to point out that a Tanai would also work for noi sukkah. Noi sukkah, of course, is decorations. And that, the default would be that if you didn't make a condition, so that's going to be Huktzah l'mitzvaso. The noi is not going to be asur min haTorah, because that's not included in the chol shem shemayim al sukkah, because that's not the sukkah itself, it's not the schach, it's not the walls. So that would be asur generally by default because of huktzah l'mitzvaso. But there a tanai works. And what kind of tanai do you do? So Abai and Rav are quoted as saying, Eini bodel mehem kol bein hashmoshos, that I'm not separating from my mindset, from the noi, from the decorations, the entire twilight period in the entranceway into the Yom Tov. According to some poskim, you have to have that condition that every single Bein HaShemoshes of every single night of Sukkah, every single evening of Sukkah, that you're not separating from the Schach. So therefore, lo chala kedusha alayu, it doesn't have kedusha, and therefore you could use it. The Gemara finally concludes, but atzei sukkah, but the sukkah itself, minimally the schach, again we quoted earlier, machlok to be shown him whether the walls are included in this, the chala kedusha alayu, that has sanctity, is kasoi l'shiva. So that becomes muksa for all 7 days. So Rashi there explains, and Tos assumes that is the pshat as well, that what the Gemara is doing is contrasting noi sukkah and the sukkah itself, all within the laws of muktzah. That the laws of muktzah concerning noi allow you to make it not muktzah by not separating from it during Bein HaShemoshes. But the laws of muktzah do not allow you to not separate from the schach during Bein HaShemoshes. Why not? Because during Bein HaShemoshes, you are certainly not allowed to take away the schach. Theoretically, you would be able to take away the noi if you're not separating from it, because there's no problem of soser of demolishing. But you're not allowed to take away the schach, because that, as we said earlier, if you have a booth, even if it wouldn't be the mitzvah of sukkah, but the mitzvah of sukkah no different, that you're not allowed to take away the schach because of soser. If you're not allowed to take away the schach because of soser, so demolishing, so you're certainly not allowed to take the schach away to use for firewood. So therefore, the statement that I don't separate myself from the schach during Bein HaShemoshos would be a meaningless statement. Since it's a meaningless statement, so the muktzah rules already kick in, they already take effect, and therefore we have this concept called migur iskatsoi levein HaShemoshos iskatsoi lekula yoma, that once it's muktzah during the twilight period, it's muktzah for the whole day. In this case, it's muktzah for the whole 7 days of Sukkot. Again, the dynamic of this Gemara is that notwithstanding the fact that it had quoted earlier a drasha from a pasuk, but it still seems to be operating with the dynamic of the laws of muktzah, which is only a din derabbanan, and that the only reason why you cannot separate from it during the Bein HaShemoshes, it's not because it's a din d'oraisa based on psukim, which would have been the simple reason why you can't separate from it, but rather the regular local dynamic of the laws of muktzah do not allow you to separate from it because of the prohibition of demolishing. And based on the fact that you separate from it, that it's muktzah from your mind during the Bein HaShemoshos because you're not allowed to destroy it, so then we apply the principle of migur iskatsoi levein HaShemoshos iskatsoi l'shiva sayomim. And since it's muktzah from the beginning, it's muktzah for the whole 7 days. So with that introduction in mind, let us now proceed to appreciate the raya that Tosis brings from this Gemara and some of the additional kashas he has on this Gemara based on the approach he's going to give. So Tosis quotes, as we mentioned in the earlier part of the sugya, quoted our pasuk. Sounds like it's a din d'oraisa, but nevertheless, mashma asam b'sov shmaitin, that we just mentioned, at the very end of that sugya, the lo asira lemitam mukta, that the dynamic of prohibiting it or not prohibiting it has to do with mukta. And in the case of sukkah, it's only also because of mukta. The kamrinan atzei sukkah, the chayla kedusha, the bach is in a word alayhu, that sanctity rests on it. Iskatsoy l'shiva, that it becomes mukta for all 7 days. And Tosis seems to be going with the pshat that Rashi gives there, that the reason that the sanctity rests on it is not because of the pasuk, but because of the local halacha, that it is, by definition, out of my mind, because I'm not allowed to take down the schach because of soser. And once during the Bein HaShmoshos period, it's boxed in as being a sur, so therefore it's usher for all 7 days. So why can the Gemara say more simply that the reason that noi, you could have a mindset that I'm not separating from it during the Bein HaShmoshos period, because there's no block of taking it down, because there's no problem of soser. But with the sukkah, there's a din d'oraisa based on the psukim that it's usher to use for any purpose other than for the mitzvah, because chol shem shamayim ala sukkah. And that's why you can't make such a tanai. Why did the Gemara have to give a local reason? Because with noi sukkah there's no soser, and with atzei sukkah there is soser. So these are the two kashas: the kasha from the Gemara in Shabbos that implies that the iser is based on muksa, and the kasha from the Gemara in Beitza that even though it quoted the pasuk, sounds like the raisa, but at the end of the sugya sounds like it's only in the rabbanan, and seemingly is interpreting the psukim as only an asmachta, and that the real basis for the prohibition is the rabbinic concept of mukta. So Tosis is going to present two answers to this kasha. One in the name of Stam Tosfos, which is also sometimes quoted in the name of the Ri, Rabbeinu Yitzchak, Bala Tosfos, and the other he's going to quote the name Rabbeinu Tam. Yesh loyma, Dahai de'asami de'raisa hainu b'oida kayemes. The prohibition men Torah is only while the sukkah is still standing. So then, Osir lita memenu eitzim, you're not allowed to take its wood. Aval mishanafla, when it falls, the batla mitzvasa. So then there's no longer an ability to fulfill the mitzvah, lo asira elami derabbanan. Then it's only asami derabbanan. I'm just adding, even though Tosis doesn't state this explicitly, that stating that is not just an ukimta ba'alma, it's not just a mere teretz to be able to answer the kasha, so to just explain we're talking about where it fell, but as we spelled out on our introduction, the Gemara in Beitza points out that the Braisa has to be talking about a case where it fell down, because we have Rabbi Shimon allowing you to take schach from a regular hut, and that only makes sense if it fell down, because otherwise there would be a problem of soser, of demolishing, and it wouldn't just be an issue of muktzah. So when the Braisa continues to say that they all agree, they all, meaning Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, who argue about muktzah, but they all agree when it comes to sukkah sechag b'chag that you're not allowed to take the wood. So it's very reasonable to say that that is also talking about a case where it fell down. So that's what Tosis say, that there the dynamic is going to be because of the issue of muktzah, and not because of the din d'oraisa of chol shem shamayim al hasukkah. So now Tosis, based on that approach, that the whole issue is one of muktzah, not the din d'oraisa, is going to have to explain certain parts of the Gemara that seem to imply, at least at first glance, that originally they thought it was a din d'oraisa. So Tosis continues, v'hod deparach bebeitza, and that which they asked in Masech Tebeitza, v'chi mahani beitna, according to the margin, they changed the girsa to mi mahani beitna. To recall, the Gemara quoted the line in the Braisa that says that both Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda both agree that if you make a Tanai, then there's no problem in using the wood. And on a simple level, because to recall, the Braisa said, first there's a machlokus between Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, as to whether or not you're allowed to use the wood of a Stam Sukkah. That's not a Yom Tov Tikkun Sukkah. It's not a Sukkah's Tikkun Sukkah. And then the Braisa quoted that everyone agrees that a Sukkah that's for Sukkahs, you're not allowed to use the wood. And then the third clause of the Braisa is that if you make a Tanai, then everyone holds you can use it. So simply speaking, the making of the Tanai is going both on the regular booth, the regular hut, and also on the case of the Sukkah Sticker Sukkah. So the Gemara asked, Umi Mahani Beit Tana, does the Tanai help with Sukkahs? And then it quoted the Pasuk. So it sounds like we're dealing with it in the Raisa, not just the rules of Muktzah. According to the approach we gave, that we're talking about a Sukkah that fell. So why is it quoting the pasuk? If the only dynamic is not the din deraisa derived from these psukim of chol shem shemayim al asukah while the sukkah is up, but we're talking about a sukkah that fell, and that's only the din derabanan of muksa, so why shouldn't a tanai work? What does it help to quote the psukim? The psukim are not referring to a sukkah that fell. It's only referring to a sukkah that's up. So that's Tosa's implicit question. Sounds like from that line that they're assuming they're dealing with a sukkah that's up and is subject to the din deraisa. So Tos explains. Since the condition will certainly not help while it's up, because that's a din deraisa based on chol shem shamayim ala sukkah, just like chagiga. Therefore, kishanafla nami lo yoil. The Gemara knew that we're dealing with a sukkah that fell, but a tanai shouldn't help with a sukkah that fell, since once it's up, it's asim in atara. So even when it fell, it should be asim derabanan. Why? Tos elaborates. The migo diskatsoi ben hashmoshes is katsoi l'shiva. As we mentioned earlier, there's a concept in Ilchus Muksa that ben hashmoshes is going to determine the muksa status for the rest of that particular unit, whether it's a day for Shabbos or 7 days for Sukkot, in the terms of Huxala Mitzvasa, where it's designated for the mitzvah. So once we have a Din Min HaTorah that while it's up, it is Aser. So the fact that it's Aser to be utilized for anything other than Sukkah, so that now is going to plug into a Muktzadikah concept that even if it falls, we're going to apply the principle of the Migur Iskatsoi Ben Hashmoshes Iskatsoi L'Shiva. That once the Din Min HaTorah bans us from using it while it's up, so then at least during the Ben Hashmoshes period, then really as long as it's up, it's Usr, and we have separated our mindset from it. So as a result of that, even after it falls, where the Din Min HaTorah no longer applies, the Din of Huxala Misvaso of Din Derabanan will still apply, that you're not allowed to use that wood for the full 7 days. That was the Kasha of the Gemara. Mi Mahani Beit Tanah. It was not a direct Kasha from how could a Tanai work? It's a Din Deraisa. Rather, the Kasha was a two-step Kasha. Since Min HaTorah it's Usr while it's up, therefore even after it falls, it's going to be Usr Rabbanan because of a Muktzah concept of Migur Iskatsoi. So now Tosis continues, because if that's true, that the Gemara already at that stage knew about this concept, that there's this idea of Migur Iskatsoi, that it can't be used during Ben HaShmoshes, and therefore it's going to be Usr to use during the whole 7 days, So that might be difficult in terms of following the continuing Shakla Vitari of the Gemara. So Tos continues to quote that Shakla Vitari to give and take. Umishani, and the Gemara answers, the Seifa Soi L'Sukkah D'Alma, that idea that you're allowed to make a Tanai is going on a regular Sukkah, not on a Sukkah of Chag. V'hadir Parich, and then the Gemara subsequently asked, Mi Noye Sukkah, from the fact that with Noye Sukkah you're allowed to make a Tanai, the Mahani Beit Tanah, that a Tanai is effective, and that you're allowed to make a Tanai. Umishani, and the Gemara answers, Ba'omer, Eini, Bodel, Mehem, Kol Ben Hashmoshes, that the Tanai of being able to utilize the Noye Sukkah is what you stated, that I'm not separating from it, I'm not taking my mind off of it, the entire Ben Hashmoshes. Dilohuk to Limitzvoso, so therefore they are not set aside for the mitzvah, because you did not separate during the whole initial period of Ben HaShmoshes. And the Gemara continues, Lo domu le'etzim, and the noy is not similar to the actual schach of the sukkah, shehem ikara mitzvah, and that is the main part of the mitzvah, since that is the main part of the mitzvah, v'al korchach boidul mehem, and therefore you for sure have to separate from them. And now Tosis quotes what we mentioned earlier in the name of Rashi, v'yesh bem stiras oihel, and therefore, as a result of the fact that you're not allowed to take it down during the Ben HaShmoshes because of stira, because it would be demolishing if it were one of the malachis, so there's no possibility of saying any boidel mehem. So, putting it all together, according to Taisvis, the Gemara originally already knew that we're dealing with a migur iskatsoi dynamic here. When it quoted the psukim were just being utilized indirectly, since you're not allowed to use the sukkah because of the psukim. So therefore, that leads to a situation where you separate your mindset from it. And as we shall see later, you cannot even have in mind to use the wood, even if it falls, since you're not allowed to take the schach down because of soseh. And once that's true for Ben HaShmoshes, so then we're going to say, Migur Iskatsoi, for the Ben HaShmoshes, it's Usr for all 7 days. Tosis now is bothered by the Kasha. Alpha Gafta Mei Kara Yoda Haitaima. Even though originally, before it got to that final stage where it asked from the Noye Sukkah, it already knew that idea in the earlier stage. As Tosis said, that the reason the Gemara had asked, does a Tanai work? And it didn't answer the obvious answer that a Tanai doesn't work because it's a Din Min HaTorah. It didn't answer that answer because Tosis already pointed out that Gemara knew we're talking about a Sukkah that fell and not a Sukkah that's up. And the only reason that the Gemara was asking, does a Tanai work? Is because it knew already of this whole idea of Migdas Katzai. So why does the Gemara suddenly wake up later when it asked from Noye Sukkah and bring that up as if it never thought of that before? Tosa says that you're right, it knew it all along. Even though originally it knew that idea. It is the way of the Gemara to spell out its assumptions through Akasha and Ateretz. Meaning earlier it assumed it without spelling it out. And later it had to spell it out because that was the only way to the there was the divide between Noye Sukkah and the wood of the Sukkah itself. But really, it knew it all along. It was assuming it all along, but it made it more explicit
as a result of another kasha.
It's an additional comment on the phraseology of Tosis. Tosis used a lashon of Al Karchach Bodel Mehem V'yesh Behem Stiras Ohel. So Tosis seems to imply that the reason he separates from them, and we apply the rule of Migdas Katzoi, that it's usher for all 7 days, even after it falls, that it's not just sufficient, the fact that it's usher min HaTorah while it stands, and that plugs into the concept of Migdas Katzoi, that if it's usher at the twilight period at the beginning, that it's usher for the entire holiday, even after it falls, the fact that it was usher min HaTorah based on the Psukim, on the drasha from Chagiga, that in addition to that, you require the fact that Yesh Bem Stiras Ohel, that it was usher because of a soser, of demolishing. So that's a little bit difficult why Tosis would need that additional factor. Why isn't it sufficient to say that since it's usher in a Torah because of the mitzvah, based on the psukim, so that allows us to apply the concept of Migdas Katzoi, that even after it falls, it's going to be usher because of Muktzah. So perhaps Tosis might be holding here that the fact that it's Asim and HaTorah while it's standing is insufficient to ban it after it falls based on Migdas Katzoi, just based on the fact that it's Asim for Mitzvah. You need some additional Isser here of Soser that because you're not allowed to use it because of Mitzvah, and it's already Bein HaShmoshes of Yom Tif. And on Bein HaShmoshes of Yom Tif, it's usher to demolish it. So that extra factor is what causes it to be usher for a full 7 days, even after it falls. Perhaps one way of understanding that is because if it would just be the idea that it's usher min HaTorah because of the Psukim, but that usher min HaTorah doesn't apply once it falls. So if not for the fact that there's an Isser of Stiras Ohel, he might have in mind that if and when it falls, he should be able to use it. But since there's an Isser of Stiras Ohel that forbids him from demolishing it during Bein HaShemashos, so then, perforce, he has to separate from it for the full 7 days. But you still also need the fact that it's Huktzah L'Mitzvasoi, which in turn is based on the Din D'Oraisa of the Drasha from Chagiga, because if it was only Osir because of the Isser of Stira, of Stira's Ohel, of demolishing, so then we should be Mutar after Yom Tov on Chol HaMoed. The fact that we're also dealing with a Huktzah L'Mitzvasoi based on the fact that it's Osir Min HaTorah because of the Drasha from Chagiga, as Tosis wrote earlier, that since it's Osir Min HaTorah while it's standing, so therefore we plug in Migdas Katzoi for a full 7 days, even after it falls. In sum, had we just had the Isser of Mitzvah, which is derived from the Psukim, so then you'd be able to stipulate mentally that when it falls, I should be able to benefit from it, because that Din Min HaTorah doesn't apply after it falls. So that's why you also need the Muktzah Machmas Isser of the fact that you can't demolish it. Had you just had the Isser of demolishing, so then it should have been Mutar on Chol HaMoed. So that's why you need the factor of Mitzvah. This requires a little more study as to why Tosis needed that extra factor of Stiras Ohel. So in sum, the first approach of Tosfos is that there's a Din Min HaTorah that you're not allowed to benefit from the Sukkah for any purpose other than Sukkahs itself. Again, the Poskim discuss, it doesn't mean When I was younger, I was asking, are you allowed to lean a chair on the walls of the sukkah? Is that called using the walls of the sukkah? So some pointed out to me, that's part of the usage of a sukkah. That's called dira, just like you'd lean the chair on the walls of your house. So you could lean the chair on the walls of a sukkah.
The Gemara even points out in the Daf Yoreh Beis that from the perspective of utilizing the sukkah, you're even allowed to hang your laundry on the schach. There might be a gzeirah derabanan that people will think that that's kosher schach, but there's no violation of the kedusha of sukkah, because that's called the use of the sukkah, called dira. Mishneh Berurah points out from the Taz that only hanoah shel kilu is aser, hanoah of destruction, such as using the schach for firewood, or even, as the Maril says, cracking off a piece of wood to use as a toothpick. But other usages will be included in the permissible usages of a sukkah.
But that halacha of min haTorah, that you're not allowed to use the sukkah for any purpose other than the mitzvah, that's only when it's up. When it falls down, that din min haTorah lapses. It's still a din derabanan, based on the concept of migdas katsoi, as spelled out by the Gemara in Beitza and Shabbos. Once ben hashmoshes, it's locked in, it's being prohibited to use it, so therefore it's locked in for the whole 7 days, and that's relevant even after it falls. Now Tosfos quotes a second answer, totally different approach. Benetam Mefarish, the Eitzim shall kidei hechsher sukkah chayla kedusha alayhu v'asirim midaraisa. The sukkah, its parts, with respect to the hechsher sukkah, the 7x7 tefachim, or the walls, if you hold the walls, are included in this iser of the two walls that are 7 tefachim and the tefach shall kidei hechsher sukkah. Chayla kedusha alayu, so that the sanctity occurs in it min haTorah v'asirim midaraisa. Aval hayoser mikdei hechsher, but the part of the sukkah that's beyond the minimum 7x7 tefachim, or if you go with the walls, let's say the fourth wall that's not part of the hechsher, not part of the minimum amount of walls you need, mitzri el midrabanan, that's only also the rabbanan. So the achronim, the Aruch Lener, and is also discussed to some extent in the Beis Yosef, and the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ran, and the Be'er Halacha, analyze exactly what does this mean. Because if you have a sukkah that has four walls, which wall are we going to say is extra? And which part are we going to say represents the minimum 7x7 tefachim? And which part are we going to say is the extra? So on a simple level, you could speak about a case where you built a sukkah that was kosher, and then you decided now to extend it. So the kosher sukkah part, that's the din min haTorah, and the extension is only midrabanan. So Rabbeinu Tam now has to resolve the same kasha that Tosis had on its first shot. What was the kasha? That the Gemara had asked in Masechta Beitza, Bryce had said that a Tanai works such that, and simply speaking, it's talking about the Sukkah Sachag, Vishavin, Sheim, Vim Hisna, Kolafi Tano, that you can make a stipulation that it shouldn't become Asir, that the Sukkah should not become Asir. So at first glance, so originally the Gemara thought that it was going on Sukkah Sachag, and therefore the Gemara attacked. That does a Tanai work with Sukkah Sachag? It's a din deraisa. So Tosis earlier was bothered by the Kasha, but we're dealing with a Sukkah that fell, and a Sukkah that fell is not a din deraisa. So Tosis answered that they knew that we're dealing with a Sukkah that fell, but they thought it would be Osir because of Migdas Katsoi, and that's why it is
Umi Mahani Beit Tanai.
Now, Tosis within Rabbeinu Tam is going to re-raise that same kasha. According to Rabbeinu Tam, that more than the shear is only Asa de Rabbanan. Why did the Gemara ask, Umi Mahani Beit Tano? But the more than the shear, it's only Asa de Rabbanan. So a Tanai should work. It's only the core sukkah that a Tanai doesn't work. It's only the core sukkah that's Asa min haTorah. That's what Tosis now asks inside. V'had de Parich, Nami, Umi Mahani Beit Tano. Again, changing Mavichi to me based on the comment on the margin. And that which the Gemara in Beitza says, does a Tanai really work? But if we're only dealing with the extra part that's only us, the Rabbanan, so why shouldn't the Tanai work? How does it help to quote the Psukim? The Psukim are only relevant to the baseline Sukkah, not to the extra part. So Rabbeinu Tam answers, Mishum de Mistama, ki heichi de lo mahani tano, maida sirim midaraisa. Just like a Tanai doesn't work in the part of the Sukkah that's us min haTorah, meaning the base measurement of the sukkah, the 7x7, the two walls plus the tefach, hu adin de lo mahani b'mayda osim midrabanan, that a Tanai wouldn't work even for the part of the sukkah that was the extension, that's only osim midrabanan. Tosis proves that point because v'lo maflig nami tana bein tzorach l'sukkah bein lo tzorach. We don't find that when the Tana the Braisa said, both Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda agree that when it comes to sukkahs chag b'chag, that you're not allowed to use it for purposes other than the mitzvah, doesn't say that you're not allowed to use only the part that's the minimal part of the sukkah,
But the other part of it maybe could be used with the Tanai. So that's what Rabbeinu Tam writes, that some of the Forshim explained. It's like, kol the tikkun rabbanon kein deraisa tikkun. If we create a din deraisa, that if there's a din deraisa, that the base of the sukkah can't be used for purposes other than the mitzvah, which is derived from a pasuk. The extension of the sukkah can't be used mid the rabbanon, that would follow the same pattern.
The Tanai shouldn't work.
Quoted the Psukim, because the Psukim established the core din min haTorah that doesn't allow for a Tanai, and by extension, the din derabanan, which also wouldn't allow for a Tanai on a rabbinic level, patterned after the Torah level. It's interesting, not to elaborate further here, that Taisus and Masechta Shabbos, Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, that he's about to quote, has a somewhat different version of this Rabbeinu Tam as to the nature of this din derabanan. Here, Taisus seems to assume that the din derabanan of the Isser of utilizing the extra part of the Sukkah is based on a rabbinic extension of the din min haTorah of Chol Shem Shemayim al haSukkah. There, Taisus and Shabbos assumes that the extra part of the Sukkah is Os derabanan because of the rules of Muktzah. Okay, so that's for further Iyun and learning Masechta Shabbos. And now Tosis wraps up as follows with an additional kasha that he briefly alludes to a teretz that he gave elsewhere. V'ahi debeitza kasha, that dynamic of Masechta Beitza and also L'chor Shabbos M'hei, or the other Gemara that Tosis quoted, which Bikitzer directly implies that the reason you're not allowed to use the sukkah is because of an issue of muktzah, which Tosus has worked out exactly why it's not based on the din min haTorah of Chol Shem Shemayim al sukkah. So it's difficult, mi perek bama madlikin. The second perek of Shabbos, middle of the Chanukah sugya, daf chav beis amud aleph, so there the Gemara says that you're not allowed to use the neiros of Chanukah because they're mitzvah oriented. And the term the Gemara used there is bizui mitzvah, that it's a disgrace to the mitzvah, it's degrading to the mitzvah, to use it for purposes other than for the mitzvah. So there, the Gemara compared it to noyei sukkah. The mashma, the noyei sukkah asurin mishum bizei mitzvah. That the decorations of the sukkah are also because of bizei mitzvah. But yet, the Gemara in Beitza indicates that it's also because of muktzah. Huktzah lemitzvaso. The mashma, the noyei sukkah asurin mishum bizei mitzvah, v'loi mishum muktzah. The Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph in the second parak directly implies that both with the Neiros Chanukah and the noyei sukkah, the reason you're not allowed to use it is because of it's a disgrace to the mitzvah. It's degrading to the mitzvah to use it for a purpose other than the mitzvah. Not because of muktzah. Yet the Gemara in Beitza directly implies that the dynamic there is muktzah. Huktzah l'mitzvah so, as we saw earlier in the Tosfos. So how do we resolve that contradiction where the Gemara seems to give different reasons for the din, whether it's bizui mitzvah or huktzah l'mitzvah so? Tosfos just alludes to what he wrote elsewhere. Umkoma peirashnua. In Masechta Shabbos, indeed, there's a Tosis there on Chav Beis Amud Aleph, where he elaborates on the dynamic, the interrelationship between those two reasons. Just very briefly, on the margin of that Tosis, they quote a Tosis Yishonim, that they're one and the same. Because of Bizei Mitzvah, there's a concept called Huktzah L'mitzvah. We designate something solely for a mitzvah because it would be disgraceful to use if anything else, and therefore it's out of your mind. They're those reasons that are interrelated. One serves as that which drives the other. But Tosis there actually says that each reason is needed in order to make the package of the various halachas that apply to Huktzah L'mitzvah. That the rule of Huktzah L'mitzvah would be relevant only on Yom Tov, not on Chol HaMoed, because on Chol HaMoed there is no concept of muktzah. And the rule of bizui mitzvah would only be relevant while it's up, while the decorations are up. But once they fall, it would no longer be considered disgraceful to use it for something else. And the only reason that blocks you from using that is the concept of muktzah, coupled with the concept you mentioned earlier of migur iskatzoi, levein hashmoshes iskatzoi, l'shivas hayomim. The fact that it's usher at the beginning, so it becomes usher
for the full 7 days.
The Gemara, to recall, I quoted the statement of Rav Sheshes in the name of Rabbi Akiva. How do we know that the wood of the sukkah, both of the walls and the schach, are prohibited all 7 days? Talmud Lomar, Chaga sukkah is shivas yomim lashem. On a simple level, the drosha is based on the fact that it says lashem, so that it's usher to use for any other purpose the materials that are used in preparation for the Chaga sukkah, is namely the sukkah. Then the Gemara quotes a braisa. V'tanya Rav Yudah ben Beseira Oimer, k'shem shechol shem shemayim Chagiga, Kachol Shem Shemaim al Sukkah. Shenemar, Chag Sukkah Shivas Yom Lashem, Ma Chag Lashem, Av Sukkah Lashem. So the Braisa, according to Rabbi Seira, seems like that the Drosha is not from the word Lashem, implying that it's usher to use for any other purpose, but rather from the fact that it's called Chag HaSukkos, a chag in the language of Chagiga, just like the Korban Chagiga, you're not allowed to benefit from it for personal reasons, that's Me'ila. So too, the Sukkah that you're making is compared to Chagiga. Just Chagiga is Aser, so too, the
Sukkah's Asr. So Tos is analyzing why can't we just make that drasha from the word Lashem, that Lashem implies that Chol Shem Shamayim al HaSukkah, that since the name of heaven's on the Sukkah, so it's Asr B'Hanoah. Why do we have to derive it, according to Yehuda ben Beseira, from the comparison to Chag or Chagiga? Tos is answered, it's Kosovar of Yehuda ben Beseira, the Lav Mishim Chagiga, if not for the comparison to Chagiga, Mukmin al HaSukkah, Lashem Chag, that Pasuk of Chag HaSukkah is Hashem, we would have darshan similar to Beishamai, at least at this stage in the Gemara, where Beis Shammai is utilizing that pasuk to say that it has to be made lishma for the sake of the mitzvah, for the sake of avodas Hashem, that the schach has to be made lishma, and we wouldn't be able to darshan that the materials are aser b'hanah. So that's why we need the comparison to chagiga, and from there we say that k'shem shechal shem shemayim al chagiga, kach chal shem shemayim al sukkah, that both are aser b'hanah. Toz di b'maschil, ahumi bo'alei l'mutek zula. To recall, in the end of the sugya, the Gemara was analyzing, according to Beis Hillel, where it says, Chag HaSukkah Yisas L'cha, so why don't we darshan the word L'cha to say that we require L'shma, just like there was a similar drasha concerning Tzitzis of Gedilim Tas L'cha, L'cha L'shem Cholvcha, so why don't we say the same thing for Sukkah? So the Gemara answers that the L'cha of Sukkah is required to exclude Gezula, that a Sukkah Gezula is possible because it's not L'cha, it's not owned by the person. So Tosis says, analysis is, we find overlapping drushes. Because on the one hand, concerning Sukkah and concerning Lulav, we find that Gzula is puzzle because it's not owned by the person. On the other hand, we also find the concept of Mitzvah of Avavera. And Mitzvah is done in the context of sin. So, and Gezel is a context of sin. So, on Avera. So, when do you need one drusha? When do you need another drusha? This is the topic of Tosis. Tema. Tepik lei mishim dehavalei Mitzvah of Avavera. That why couldn't the Gemara derive the disqualification of a sukkah gzula, that it's a mitzvah that was enabled by sin. We've shown in debate, Tosis has different opinions about this. We'll see more about that later on in the Tosis, whether it means that it was enabled by sin, even though at the time of the mitzvah you're not actually sinning, or it's dafka, where at the time of the mitzvah you're sinning, such as using stolen property. And Tosis verifies that that indeed is used by the Gemara elsewhere, that concept of mitzvah of Avera. The mehai taima paslin and esrig agozel biyam tusheni. It's exactly why we disqualify an esrig that's stolen, or the other meaning, on the second day of Yom Tov, meaning Chol HaMoed, where there is no requirement for the Dalet Minim to be owned, because the drush is lekachtam lachem b'yom harishon. So ownership is only required on the first day. The other days you're allowed to use a borrowed Dalet Minim. But nonetheless, you're not allowed to use a stolen Dalet Minim on the other days, because that's a mitzvah b'av avera. First day it's also for two reasons. Because of shalachem, lack thereof, if it's stolen, and also mitzvah b'aveira. And the other days, it's also only because of one reason of mitzvah b'aveira. That appears, as Tos quotes, l'kamon b'reish lulav ha-gozel. In the beginning of the third parak, we disqualify lulav in the other days because of mitzvah b'aveira. So let's use that same principle of mitzvah b'aveira to disqualify the sukkah gzula and not require the drush of l'cha for that. Uvahishmai tegufa kasha, that gemara itself is difficult to ka'amar. Bishlam v'yam tefrishin bein lachem, as we said, briefly said before. The first day we require this to be owned. L'kachtam lachem v'yam rishin. Misha lachem, it's to be owned by you. So there we understand why an esrik ha-gozel, lulav ha-gozel, hence the name of the third parak, lulav ha-gozel, is possible. Ela v'yam tefsheni amai. So why on the second day of Chol HaMoed and so on and so forth, why is it possible? Umishani, and the Gemara answers, which Tosis briefly quoted earlier, shim dehavle mitzvah v'aveira. So now, Hashta im Kain, once we already arrive at the solution of mitzvah avera, lomali lachem. So why do we need the verse of lachem concerning the dalet minim? Misha lachem, that is be owned by you. Let's disqualify gazul, not from lachem, but from mitzvah avera. Since you need mitzvah avera to disqualify on the other days, so once we already have that svara, that should be good enough for the first day too. So we have two kashas. One concerning sukkah, why we need the drasha of lacha to exclude Gazel, why can't you derive it from Mitzvah of Avera? And number two, concerning Lulav, why do you need the drasha of Mishalachem, Lachem Mishalachem, on the first day, let's derive it from Mitzvah of Avera. On the other day, it's concerning the meaning, we understand why we need Mitzvah of Avera, because you don't require Shalachem. But on the first day, there seem to be redundant, overlapping reasons. So Tosis answers that at least regarding the meaning, we have a ready answer. Amiyo Hasa Mikol Shenuye, concerning the Dalet meaning, so there you can answer the Itztrich Lamut Eshol. Because there's something else that's excluded from Lachem, not only Gozel, but also Shal, even if it's borrowed. It's also not Shalachem. Agabe Sukkah, Lekalishnei Hachi, Concerning Sukkah, you cannot give that answer that the drasha of Lecha is necessary not lav dafka to exclude Gozel, but to exclude Shaul, because l'rabbanan da amri l'kaman, according to the Shitas Chachamim, who say later, Perak ha-yoshein daf chavzayin mebeis, adam yotzei dechavasav sukkos shal chaveiro. You are yotzei with the bar of sukkah, the sukkah of his friend. V'naftalahu, and they derive it, midachsiv, kol ezrach v'yisrael yeshu basukos. The pasuk says that all the citizens, so to speak, of Klal Yisrael should sit in the sukkah. So we dash in from there, in addition to the pashtub shat that everyone's chayiv in sukkah, melamed shekol Yisrael ruim leishu basukkah achas, that theoretically all the Jews could sit in one sukkah. That's what many of the Bali Musa point out, that sukkah is a chag of achdus, based on that idea that all the Jews theoretically should sit in one sukkah. But the halakhic drush of that is, even though it's owned by a particular person, all the other people don't own it, but they still could be yotzei, because it could be yotzei with a borrowed sukkah. So, putting it all together, concerning Dalet Minin, we have a disqualification of Gozel, and we have a disqualification of Shaul on the first day. And the all the other days, Shaul is acceptable, and Gozel is not. The first day, Gozel and Shaul are disqualified because of Shelachem. According to Tosfos, you don't really need the psul of Shelachem to disqualify Gozel on the first day, because we could disqualify it from mitzvah above Aveira. But we do need Shelachem on the first day to disqualify Shaul. And on all the other days, Gozel is disqualified because of mitzvah above Aveira, and Shaul is kosher. So that works out within the environment of Dalet Minin. But concerning Sukkah, so here we have as follows. All the days of Sukkah are equivalent. There's no first day, other days. It's all the same. So, concerning Sukkah, Aliba de Rabbanan, we don't require Shelachem in the classic sense. You're allowed to use a borrowed Sukkah. So, our Gemara tells us that Lecha comes to exclude not a Shaul, but a Gozel. So then Tosis justifiably ask, so once we already have the Svara of Mitzvah Baba Veira, which is used to exclude a Gozel concerning the Dalet Minim on all the other days, even where you're allowed to use a Shaul, so concerning Sukkah, where you're always allowed to use a Shaul, and you're never allowed to use a Gozel, why can't I disqualify Gozel from Mitzvah Baba Veira and not disqualify it from the Drasha of Lecha? And hence the Drasha of Lecha will be redundant and unwinding, possibly might be used to teach you that you need Lishma, and that's exactly against Beis Hillel's view. So, Tosfos comes up with a very big chiddush in order to answer this kasha, v'yishlomar. The taima, the mitzvah above Avera, lav d'iraisa. That disqualification of a mitzvah above Avera is not a Torah law, elami d'rabbanan. It's a rabbinic law. It's a rabbinic law. How could it be utilized concerning lulav? Because, concerning lulav, as is well known, it's only midat minat Torah for 7 days in the mikdash. But outside of the mikdash, it's only minat Torah for 1 day. In the times of mikdash, they didn't take it at all outside of mikdash. Only later, the takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai discussed in the end of the third perek that he instituted zechel mikdash, it should be taken a full 7 days everywhere. But the other 6 days, only the rabbanan. So on that din the rabbanan of zechel mikdash, of taking the lulav for the other 6 days, there the Gemara uses the rabbinic principle of mitzvah above Avera to disqualify its being taken from Gozel. But concerning Sukkah, which is Minat Torah all 7 days, and the Gemara is seeking a reason why Minat Torah, it's puzzle, if it's a Gozel, if it's a stolen Sukkah, so there the only recourse was to derive it from a pasuk of Lecha, that has to be not stolen. An extreme lack of ownership of Gozel is pasul, just a basic lack of ownership of Shaul, so there we derive from Kol Ezrach, Yeshu Basukos, that a Shaul is kosher, and the way we put those two together, which is presumably why Tosfos took the pains of quoting the drush of Kol Ezrach of Yisrael to show how it works out with our Gemara, because we have a contradiction. On the one hand, Kol Ezrach of Yisrael says you can use someone else's sukkah. On the other hand, Lecha says you cannot use someone else's sukkah. So the compromise is that we exclude a Gozel, which is extremely not yours, and we include a Shaul, which is only, can we use the phraseology of mildly not yours. So this is Tosfos' answer. If I'm not mistaken, I believe this is a machlok to Rishonim, whether the concept of mitzvah of Aveira is a concept that's possible in a Torah, or it's possible in Rabbanan. Tosfos is known to answer his kasha, comes up with a chiddush that mitzvah of Aveira is only possible in Rabbanan, and therefore it's only disqualifying a rabbinic law of the law of the other days. But it wouldn't have the power to disqualify a Torah law, min a Torah, and therefore the Gemara is seeking out a drasha to disqualify Gozel min a Torah for Sukkah, which is min a Torah for all 7 days. So now, Tosfos has an additional kasha from Gittin. Umiya Kasha. Iperakan Izokin and Gittin Daf Nun Haimar Aleph. Kabechatas Gzula. Shalano de la Rabbin. That if you have a carbon chatas that was stolen, and it's not known by the masses that this particular animal was stolen, the
Bach adds in, based on the Mishnah Gittin, the word Mechaperes. To read that chatas gzula shall know the larabim mechaperes, that if you have a chatas that was stolen and people didn't know about it, so indeed does atone. So Tos is going to quote Ula that is a takana de rabbanan, but minatora it would not serve as a good korban. So now Tos continues.
The Amr Ula b'Gemara, Ula says there in the Gemara, bein noda bein lo noda ain't a mechaperes. Whether it was known that it was stolen, bein lo noda, even if it's not known that it's stolen, so maybe you should say that at least b'di'eved, he's yotzi with that carbon. So says Ula, no, ain't a mechaperes. That a stolen carbon is not going to atone on behalf of the one who brought it, because it's stolen. It doesn't matter whether it's known about, that it was stolen or not known it was stolen. And the Gemara explains that why did Ula say that? My taima, the yesh kedi lo kani, because yesh kedi, meaning yesh alone, is not kona. Yesh, of course, meaning that the original owner gave up hope of ever getting the animal back. So Ula maintains that Yesh alone is not enough to award ownership to the gazlan, to the one who stole it.
Ula explains that on a Torah level, Bein Noda, Bein Lo Noda, whether it's known that the one bringing the carbon had stolen it, or whether it's not known, so on a Torah level, the carbon is not valid, because Yesh Kedi Lo Kani, because Yesh alone is not enough to make it the Ganav, or the Gazlans. And as a result of that, he cannot be Yotzi the carbon. Nonetheless, on a rabbinic level, and that's the context there in Gittin, where they're listing various Takanos Terabanan, Mipnei Tikkun Olam, so on a rabbinic level, if it wasn't known, so the Chachamim, presumably through Hefker, Bezdin Hefker, they declared the carbon to be the Ganavs, in order that it should be Yotzi the carbon, in the language of the Gemara, Shelo Yihiyu Kohanim Atzevin, that the Kohanim shouldn't be upset and saddened by the fact that maybe they ate chulin bazara, because maybe the carbon that they brought was in reality stolen, and therefore wasn't a valid carbon, and they were slaughtering unsanctified meat in the courtyard, and therefore would have violated an isser. So in order that the Kohanim shouldn't be saddened, so when it's not known that it was stolen, we say that it is a good carbon, and only when it's known, so then the Kohanim should have done their research, and they shouldn't have brought a carbon of a hot property and stolen property that was well known. But on a Torah level, there's no such distinction, and the carbon is not valid because Yesh alone is not enough to be Kona. So now Tosis continues. Vishamin and Leila Ula, the Yesh Kedi Kani, but yet the same Ula is on file as holding that Yesh alone is Kona, that the Gazlan can be Kona with just Yesh. Gabe Oro Shabalabayas, concerning leather of a Balabayas, meaning not of a one who's selling it, but rather of a private individual, Vigana, Vigazlan, and concerning Oros that was stolen privately, hidden the hidden way, Vigazlan, and Oros that was stolen in open way, and Babakama, Dafkufya, Dalam, and Aleph. So in that sugya, concerning Oros, which is relevant to the laws of Tumah, because only the owners have the ability to take a raw hide and or partially processed hide and declare it to be a mat. When it's a rawhide, it's not makabel tuma. When it's a mat, it is makabel tuma. Only the owners have the ability to do that. So in that context, Ula seems to be saying that both the balabayas and the ganav and the gazlan have the ability to decide that it's a mat. So how do the ganav and the gazlan have a right to decide it's a mat? But even if the owner gave up hope, it's not theirs. It's not theirs. They have no ability to declare the unprocessed hide to be a mat. So why is it makabel tuma? So that sugya implies directly in Baba Kama that Ula holds Yesh Kedi is Kona. So I have a stira, the Gemara Gittin, that states that Ula holds Yesh is not Kona. And that's why a stolen carbon, which is not owned by the one who brought it, because stolen, the reason that it's not owned by him is because Yesh is not Kona. Yet we have the same Ula in another Gemara implying that Yesh is Kona. But Omer Ben Atam, the time of the Ula begitin, that the reason that Ula disqualified the carbon in Gittin is Mishom Mitzvah above Avera. That even though Ula holds Yesh is Kone, so it is his, but nonetheless,
It's a mitzvah of Avera. Because how did this come about? How did the ganav who's bringing the carbon, how was he able to bring the carbon? Through a sin. So even though currently it's his, because as the Gemara Baba Kama implies, Yesh is Kona, but it's still a mitzvah that came about through sin. Parenthetically, this Rabbeinu Tam seems to imply against what one opinion of Tosis in the third parak, that mitzvah of Avera is only when as you're doing it, you're getting a sin, because it's stolen property. So as you're using it, you're using stolen goods. Rabbeinu Tam seems to imply that even if it's past history that it was stolen goods, now you're Kona, now it is yours. And you're not doing a subsequent sin by doing that, but the sin was enabled through theft. So Rabbeinu Tam seems to hold that's also mitzvah of Avera. But what's relevant to our Tosfos is Alma, this implies the Raisahi, because that the Gemara in Gittin was trying to say it is not Machaper on a Torah level. So how could Tosfos earlier tell us the mitzvah of Avera is only a rabbinic principle, but Rabbeinu Tam used the principle of mitzvah of Avera to answer the stira within Ula, and his underlying assumption was that it's Minatara. So either we have to come up with a different answer for the question between Ula and Ula in order to solve that problem of Mitzvah Avera being Daraisa, or we have to come up with a different solution for Agamara and maintain that notwithstanding the fact that Mitzvah Avera is Daraisa, somehow to work out the problem of why we need an additional drasha to tell you that a Sukkah Gzula is possible because of Lecha. So Tosa points out that answer, Rabbeinu Tam, is questionable. And now he's going to attack it and point out to based on that attack, that we could still insist that Mitzvah Avera is Darabanan, and we're going to have to come up with some kind of different solution concerning the contradiction in Ula. Umi, however, Belavachi lo yitachin, that answer, Rabbeinu Tam, is not plausible. Da behedje ka amra Ula mishem deyesh lo kani. We have explicitly in the Gemara in Gittin, he says black and white, yesh kedi lo kani. So how could you finesse that and say, really, yesh is kona, but it's mitzvah bavavera. But the Gemara doesn't say that the reason that Ula holds that the carbon is not machaper is because of mitzvah bavavera. The Gemara says it's because of Yesh Kedi Lo Kani, because Yesh Lon is not Kona. So we still have a direct stira between that and the implication of Ula concerning the Oros in terms of the fact that he has a right to declare it to be a mat, and therefore it's Makabal Tumah, where that directly implies that Yesh is Kona. So Rabbeinu Tam's answer, although it works theoretically, but it doesn't work with the words, because Rabbeinu Tam is taking the words Yesh Kedi Lo Kani and sticking in a new phrase of Mitzvah Bavera. The Ode. Another question on that approach of Rabbeinu Tam, the effect merubed of Samos Dainim Abayis, Dorish Rava Behedya, the Yesh Lokani, Midichsiv Karbanov Lo Gazul. So we have Rava stating, exactly seemingly in the logic of Ula and Gittin, but this in Baba Kama, quoting Rava, the other one in Gittin, quoting Ula, that I'll prove to you that Yesh is not Kona. And how do I know the Yesh is not Kona? Midichsiv, we have a Pasuk Karbanov, it has to be his carbon, to exclude a stolen carbon, presumably that's some kind of earlier drasha, maybe from the Torah's Kohanim. So Rav is deriving from that drasha that if it can't be Yotzi with a stolen carbon, why not? But if the owner was Misyaish, presumably going with the approach of what the Gemara calls Stam Gzeli Yesh Bailim, that when it's stolen in an open way, so the Gazlan is so brazen that the owner is afraid of him and he's not going to track him down, so the owner is going to be Misyaish. And if he's Misyaish, so then why can't the Gazlan be Kone? There's Yeush. So Rava says, you see, there's no, that even though there's Yeush, Yeush is not Kona. And therefore, it's a carbon of Gazel. It's a carbon of Gazel. Doesn't work. So we have Rava, again, explicitly stating, just as Ula said in Gittin, that the reason the carbon is possible, because not his, carbon of a law of Gazel, because Yeush is not Kona. Not because of Mitzvah Bava Veira. It's because there's a drasha, similar to what we have over here, Lecha, to exclude Gazel, which is not Mitzvah Bava Veira. So carbon of a law of Gazel is not Mitzvah Bava Veira. So, therefore, based on these kashis on Rabbeinu Tam's understanding of how to resolve Ula, so Tosfos presents another resolution of Ula, which doesn't touch upon Mitzvah Bava Veira at all, and therefore we're free to say, as Tosfos said originally, in the context of our sugya, that Mitzvah Bava Veira is only a rabbinic principle, and therefore we need a drasha of Lecha to exclude Gezel concerning a sukkah. Elanira, what is the resolution of the two Ulas? The Ahuda, Gezel Basra, that Gemara, at the end of Baba Kama, concerning the Oros, Lav Yeish Kedi Hu. It's not Yeish alone. Let's keep in mind that the Gemara in Baba Kama said that the Oros, Shel Balabayis, and Avaganav, and Avagazlan, right, the unprocessed hides that are thought about to be used for a mat, so then they suddenly are Makabal Tumah. It didn't say why. So Tosis earlier, and that was the Rabbeinu Tam's approach, was assuming because of Yeush. The Ganam and the Gazlan are kona via Yeush, so become like the Balabais, and therefore they have the ability to declare it to be a met. And then we got stuck that contradicts what Rule said in Gittin, and then Rabbeinu Tam came up with his approach of the Mitzvah Baba Veira idea. The Tosis points out, but the Gemara never said it's because of Yeush. So rather, it's Yeush and a combination. Those who have learned Baba Kama will be familiar with these concepts, but just a brief introduction, that in Baba Kama, even those views that maintain that Yesh Kedi, lo Kona, Yesh alone is not Kona, but Yesh in combination with other things can be Kona. Most famous of them are Yesh and Shina Rishus, that if someone steals and is Yesh and then he sells it away to someone else, so that someone else is Kona, and the combination of the owner giving up hope and now it's in a different domain. But there's another combination that at least some Amroim hold of, and that is Yeush Vishini Hashem, where it is the owner gave a pope, and now there's some kind of change in the status or the title of that particular item. So that, according to Tosis, is what's going on concerning the Oros. Again, reading it again inside. Lav Yeush Kedihu. It's not Yeush alone, beginning of the third line from the bottom. The Ika Yeush Vishini Hashem. There's Yeush and a change in name, because originally it was an or. It was a hide. An unprocessed hide of an animal. And now, it's a mat. So that's a new name. The new name alone is not enough. Yeush alone is not enough. But Yeush and Shini Hashem is a combination that allows the ownership of the ganav. Gets a little bit sticky, because you have to have somehow either retroactivity or basachas, because originally at the stage of Yeush, the ganav did not own it. And then when he calls it a mat, declares to be a mat, so at that point, it wasn't his yet, but after he declares to be a mat, it becomes a mat, and then we have Yeush and Shini Hashem that does become his. Isn't it too late? How does he have the ability to declare it to be a mat? So different formulations, possibly the retroactive or basachas, that at the time he calls it a mat, it becomes his and it becomes a mat at the same time. Kedekam Rahasim Mimaruba, as we have a duality in the seventh parak of Baba Kama, the Samach Baba Mbeis, to make Kara Karle Mashcha, Vashta Karle Abarza. Originally it was called a hide, that's mashcha, and then now it's a barza, now it's called a mat. So, now Tosis coming up with that answer, that it's not Yeush alone that's doing the trick, but it's Yeush and Shini Hashem, and verifying and utilizing that duality to make it work, even though Yeush alone is not Kona, so why can't we say the same thing with carbon? V'afakav t'gabi carbon, nami ki Shini Hashem, ki the Amar Hasam, as it says in the seventh parak as well, the Sam Simon Beis, to make karachulin vashta hektish, that originally it's mundane and now it's holy. How does that plug in here? That why does Ula say that if you steal a sheep and then you bring it as a carbon, it's not machaper? But why can't the act of hakdasha, declaring it to be an ola shlamim, etc., why can't that be koner for you? Because you have yeush plus shinu yashem. Originally it was chulin and now it's hektish. So once again, even though you don't have the power to be makti, something's not yours. But if through that act it's becoming yours, so it's basachas. It's becoming yours together with declaring it to be hektish, which is a shini Hashem in combination with yeush, that makes it yours. So why does Ula say not yotze, but it is yours? Why does Rava say it's karbonov lo gozel, but it is yours? So Tos explains, mikom nevertheless. Memait is still excluded. Mirachsiv karbono. It says his carbon. Cave in the Kodem Hektish, Lav Shalohu. So there, somehow, we're deriving from that Pasuk Karbono, and it's different from the laws of Tumah, that it's not sufficient that it should become yours at the time of Hektish. It has to be yours at the time of Hektish. Cave in the Kodem Hektish, Lav Shalohu, it wasn't yet his. Vavagav Techololov Hektish, Mach Mashini Hashem, the Osi Hashta. And even though Tos Mechadish, that as a result of the Hektish, which is a Shini Hashem, so the Ganav is Kona, because it's Yeush and Shini Hashem. So very nice. It's now a Karban Olah. It's now a Karban Shlomim. It was effective, because now it is yours. But nonetheless, we derive from the Pasuk that Lo Chazi La Krava, it's still not fit for offering it as a Karban. The Be'inan Karbano B'sha Shemakdish, that we derive from the Pasuk of a Karbano, his Karban, that not only does it have to be his by the time that he's actually bringing it to the Mikdash, but at the time he's declaring it to be a carbon, that's the time of Hakdasha, it also has to be his, and therefore it doesn't help. So concerning the laws of Tumah, there's no halacha that has to be yours as of the change of status from a rawhide to a mat. There, as long as it's yours, as of the time it's a mat, so then you succeed in declaring it to be what's called a kli, a utensil, and it's mekabel tuma, because there is no specific pasuk that tells you, oh, ro, that has to be his as of the time of declaring it to be a mat. But here we have a specific pasuk, korbano, which Tosis, again, a chiddush, is explaining, tells you that not only does it have to be yours at the time you bring it on the Mizbeach, but it has to be yours at the time of Akdosha. So, a rather complex Tosis, bringing in some classic ideas from Baba Kama. Just to quickly summarize, Tosis was troubled by our Gemara that it says Lecha to exclude a Gozel, and Tosis wants to know, why do you need to exclude a Gozel from a Pasuk Lecha? Why can't you use the concept of Mitzvah Baba Veira, which the Gemara utilizes concerning the other days of the Dalet Minin? And Tosis' basic answer is that for the other days of the Dalet Minin, the Mitzvah is Derabanan, and the disqualification is Derabanan. But concerning Sukkah, which is equally the rice on all the days, and Gozel is equally the rice on all the days, so we needed a drasha that would be on a Torah level, and that could only qualify if it's a drasha lecha, lehotias a Gozel. Mitzvah b'avera, being only a rabbinic principle, would only disqualify it on a rabbinic level, on all the days of Sukkot. It wouldn't disqualify on a Torah level. So in order to disqualify on a Torah level, we had to quote a pasuk. That was the first idea of Tosis. Then Tosis challenged that assertion. How could you say the Mitzvah b'avera is the Rabbanan? But we have Rabbeinu Tam, who was assuming it was the Raisa in order to resolve a certain contradiction between Ula and Ula, because Ula in one place sounds like Yeish is not Kona. Ula in another place sounds like Ula, sounds like Yeish is Kona. So Natosis got stuck because Rabbeinu Tam, in order to resolve a contradiction concerning Ula's view, whether or not Yeish is Kona or not, that concerning Karbin, the Gemara says, yeah, that Ula holds Yeish is not Kona, but concerning Tuma, concerning making a hide into a mat, the Gemara assumed that, according to Rabbeinu Tam's reading of that Gemara, that Yeish is Kona, so how to resolve the contradiction. So Rabbeinu Tam answered that concerning Karbin, we have a concept of Mitzvah B'Avera, that which is not relevant to Tuma. And when the Gemara said that Ula holds Yeish is not Kona, it's Lav Dafka, it means Mitzvah B'Avera. That Rabbeinu Tam is assuming that Mitzvah B'Avera is a concept of Minatorah, so that directly contradicts Tosis' answer concerning our Gemara, concerning Sukkah, that Mitzvah B'Avera is the Rabbanan. So what Tosis does is he asks several kashas in Rabbeinu Tam to prove that that cannot be the Pshat in Ula, and therefore we can indeed say that Mitzvah B'Avera is the Rabbanan. In order to resolve Ula, so Tosis brings the principle of Yeish and Shini Hashem, and that is what the dynamic is concerning the rules of Tuma, concerning the hide and the leather and making it into a mat, and concerning a carbon, the Yeish and Shini Hashem of making it into a carbon is not going to work, even though it will work to give you ownership, but it will not work to allow you to be outside the carbon, because the Pasuk Karbano implies that it has to be yours as of the time of Akdasha, when you sanctify it, and not just at the time of Akrava, when it's brought on the Mizbech.